Our first reading is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, which you can find on page 216 of the Church Bible. Joshua installed as leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be. We have two short but significant readings from Hebrews, which you can find on page 1209 in the Church Bibles. Hebrews 11, 1-2. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then turning to Hebrews 12, verses 1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Heavenly Father, it's great news that we can come together this evening knowing that you know fully all that lies ahead of us this coming year, and that you have equipped us for that through your grace. And we pray now, as we just spend a few moments looking at these words, so you will give us encouragement and confidence in you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this is, I'm not going to pretend for a moment this is a fully prepared sermon, but this is just, in a sense, a few thoughts based on those two readings that we had, looking ahead to the new year, and a chance really just to encourage one another. As I've said, we don't know what the year holds. I think there's supposed to be some Olympics in Japan at some point, but you know, there's not a lot we actually know about what's going to happen in this coming year. We don't know where it will take us. You know, some of us we know will probably be moving away from home, but we don't know where to or how that will work out. And we don't know what joys await us, as we sung in that hymn, Father, Let Us Dedicate. We don't know if the Lord has got great joys for us, or even if there are going to be tragedies ahead of us during this coming year. And that's the case for us as we think individually about our own lives. It's also the case for our church. We don't know what the Lord's purposes for this church are in the coming year. And we certainly don't know in the wider community and life of the nation how events are going to unfold. I think probably most of you are familiar with that quote from Macmillan at the end of his time as being Prime Minister, when he was asked what had had the biggest effect on his government and his policies and so on as a Prime Minister. He said, events. So whatever plans we have, events tend to interrupt and take over, as I say, in the life of the nation, the life of the church, and in our own individual situations. So in that uncertain context, what does it mean for us to live by faith and to encourage each other to live by faith? And we see the principle of that in that opening verse of Hebrews chapter 11. To be honest, the whole of Hebrews chapter 11 through to the end of verse 3 of chapter 12 is one whole section. I've never understood why they put the chapter division between verse 40 of chapter 11 and verse 1 of chapter 12. It's very much a continuous thing. But it begins with this wonderful principle about faith. And it defines faith as confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. And we're told that that is demonstrated by the ancients, who in every way and in every situation trusted the word of God and the promise of God, and then as they went into an uncertain future, framed their lives according to the promise of God and the word of God. Those are the things that guided them through all that they did. The chapter then lists a whole number of people, beginning with Abel, working its way through Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and so it carries on all the way through and ends verse 39 and 40. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and so it goes on. So the point is that the principle by which these ancients lived was to have confidence in what they hoped for, an assurance about what they didn't see, by trusting the word of God and trusting the promise of God as they went forwards in an uncertain world. And so I thought, let's just take one of these guys and just look at how that worked out in a little bit more detail, which is why we had that reading from the opening verses of the book of Joshua. And as we say goodbye to 2019 and presumably say goodbye to the EU, so Joshua, the book of Joshua, opens with a major goodbye. It begins by saying, having said goodbye to all the familiarity and the security of the leadership of Moses, ready to leave behind the 40 years that they had been in the wilderness. That whole generation that had experienced the Exodus had died out in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb were the last two. And now Moses, the great leader who's brought God's word to them and guided them and always been that ever-present security for them, Now Moses has gone. And so before Joshua is this unknown land, and he's now in charge. It's up to him to lead this rabble into this uncertain place, an unknown land. All they know about it is it's full of giants. And it's an incredibly intimidating situation that Joshua finds himself in as he said goodbye to all that was familiar and so on in the past and looks ahead to this uncertain future. So how does he put into practice this faith, which is being certain of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see? Well, we see that he goes forwards armed with the promise of God and the word of God. We see the promise of God. In verses 3 and 4, he has the promise of the land. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. So there's the promise of the land. Then in verse 5, there's the promise of victory. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And then there is the promise of God's presence in the second half of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And each of those things, the promise of the land, the promise of victory, the promise of God's presence, is a foreshadowing of the Lord's promise to us. The land represents an inheritance. Our inheritance is secure. The victory is the growing victory, as we've looked at, as we've been looking through Romans, over the power of sin, the world and the devil. And the presence, the gift of the Holy Spirit, through whom Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, always with us. Now, none of these are visible. They are aspects of what we do not see, but that which we have assurance of. They are aspects of what Paul describes every spiritual blessing for which he gives praise to God at the beginning of Ephesians. Remember the opening verse of Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he goes on to list all of these blessings, our adoption, our calling, our redemption, and so on and so forth. Or everything we need for life and godliness. Peter writes that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Through his precious promises, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Or in 1 Peter chapter 1, the living hope into an inheritance which can never spoil, fade, or perish, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power, ready to be revealed on the last day. And so we have in Christ these promises, which are foreshadowed to Joshua, promised to us. We don't see them now, but we look forwards to them and live by them. And so Joshua and we, as he goes forwards, has the promise of God. And he and we also have the word of God and the command to live by it. Keep it by our side. Meditate on it. Do it and never turn from it. In verses 7 to 8 there. Having said, be strong and very courageous, the Lord then says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And so we have there the promise of God's word to keep that. In fact, more than the promise, the command to keep it, to walk by it. As we go into an unknown situation, as Joshua goes in, he doesn't know all the situations he's going to face as he goes into the land of Canaan. What do I do here? How do I decide what to do? I've got God's word. if I'm keeping by God's word, then however, in some way, then that is going to be the right way to go. One shouldn't draw too straight a line here, that, straight to a prosperity gospel in the sense we understand prosper. This doesn't mean, oh, we'll just get wealthy if we do this. That's not what it's saying. By prosper, it's much more about we will flourish as a person. And there are plenty of people who are financially very poor who really flourish as people. And it's that kind of flourishing and a healthy walk with God that is being spoken about when he's talking here about being prosperous and successful. So we have then the word of God to go with us. So then armed, as Joshua is, with the promise of God and with the word of God, we can take God at his word and face the unknown with courage and without fear. That's why he says to Joshua, be courageous, do not be afraid. In fact, repeats that twice in those verses. Do not be discouraged. He's not saying, man up, Joshua, you can do it. That's not the message, and that's not the message we should take. Man up, you can do it in 2020. That's not what it's about. What it's saying is because we have the promise of God, and because we have the word of God, then we can face the unknown by faith, with confidence. And we can be assured of the things that we do not yet see, because we know God's word and we know God's promise in whatever we go forwards into, whatever lies before us. And so that's where we return then to those verses in Hebrews, which conclude this chapter. So having set the principle of what faith is, having then looked at the example of one of the ancients, I didn't have time to go through all the examples of all the ancients, otherwise this would be a very long talk. We come to chapter 12, which says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the conclusion of this great chapter of living by faith, fixing our eyes, therefore, on the perfect example. All these ancients actually made mistakes. Without doing a whole sort of biblical history of them all, you know, every one of them, we can find out where they went wrong and where they actually didn't hold on to God's promise or where they didn't hold on to God's word. But verses 1 to 3 point us to the one who never let go of God's promise and never let go of God's word. All of these ancients foreshadow and point us towards the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the promise of God and the word of God enabled him to scorn the shame of the cross and now to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And actually to share in his glory is our inheritance too. That is what God has promised those who are in Christ, to share in his glory. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles, and let us run the race through 2020 that God has marked out for us, and let us do so with perseverance and our eyes fixed on Jesus, with the promise of God and the word of God by our sides. Well, let's just pause a moment just to think about those things, and to just think about, and perhaps quietly, excuse me, in the quietness of our hearts, just to commit ourselves to the Lord for the year ahead. Heavenly Father, we thank you that what you in your great love have prepared for those who love you surpasses the best of our own man-made plans. We thank you for those words in Proverbs that while we may plan things, the end result is in the hands of the Lord. And so we ask that we may entrust ourselves with confidence into your hands and your good purposes, and that in all situations we may keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, for his name's sake. Amen.